produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to My Father's Teaching. My name is Terrence Burton. Before we get into the Word of God today, let's go ahead and get into prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory, honor, praise, love, and adoration. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your words. We thank you for causing us to comprehend. Thank you, Father, for helping us to see things from your divine perspective so that we will glorify you in how we think, in how we live, how we pray, and in every area of our lives. Father, I yield myself to the Spirit of God. Give us understanding today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for the past few weeks, we have been talking about prayer. And so we're going to continue on in that vein. But we're going to start in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. And it says, "Ye have heard that it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" Verse 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." So in this course that we have been dealing with regarding prayer, again, we're going to talk from that same vein. But what we're going to talk about here is praying for your enemies. I just want to say this, because sometimes God makes requests of us, or he issues commands and decrees that don't always line up with our natural way of thinking. In fact, God oftentimes says things that may be kind of unorthodox in our in the way that we think, in the way that we handle or do things. And so here Jesus is really giving us an illustration of that very same type thing. And so he tells us, you know, you've heard this about loving your neighbor and hating your enemy, but I'm going to have you to step beyond that, because anybody can do that. So he says, but I'm telling you, love your enemy. So even if there is someone, now let me say this, because I've heard people through the years say that we don't have enemies, that our only enemy is the devil. Actually, that's not in fact true, because an enemy is someone who opposes you. An enemy is someone, now granted, that person may be inspired by the devil, but it does not stop them from being an enemy, because they were the ones who yielded. If we don't really have enemies, then why would Jesus be telling us to love them if our only enemy was the devil? But anyway, as humans in this earth in particular, if you live a life where you are trying to glorify the Father, In fact, let me take it a step further. There are people who aren't even trying to glorify the Father and have enemies. But especially if you are in pursuit of living a life that will bring glory and honor to God, it's going to cause some people to not like you. You're going to have some enemies. You're going to have some people, as we like to say, some people who are hating on you, or some haters. But what Jesus is telling us here is how to deal with them. He doesn't say slap them. He doesn't say cuss them out. He doesn't say kick them or anything like that. But what he does say is love your enemies. Wait a minute, man of God. But they started something with me. Yes. But here's the thing. Let's say instead of loving your enemies, you acted like your enemy. You respond in retaliation against them for what they've done. Then they feel like they're victim. And then they in turn attack you. You attack them. And you end up possibly with this ongoing eternal battle that could have been stopped had you obeyed God and been the better person. Because really what Jesus is teaching us here is how to be the better person. Because anybody can love somebody who loves them. And we've been called to a higher way of living as believers, where we're not only responsible for loving those who love us, we are responsible also for loving those who mistreat us. So he says, love your enemies. And then he says, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That person who is a thorn in your side, that person who is a pebble in your shoe, here is Jesus saying, love your enemies, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. Let me tell you where the conflict comes in. We wrestle with things like that because we don't want to do that. Because in our minds, we may rationalize, they don't deserve my goodness. They don't deserve me to do something good for them. They don't deserve for me to bless them. They don't deserve for me to pray for them. But again, God has called us to a higher way of living. And the reason that Jesus can give us a decree like that is because how do we answer like that when we look back at what Jesus has done for us? Because there was a time when we were enemies of God. There was a time where we fought with God. But yet God loved us. Yes, yet God blessed us. Yeah. But God said, I'm going to be bigger by loving those who hate me. And so I'm requiring that those who get in alignment with me will follow suit and exemplify the same kind of love for other people, for mankind that I exemplified. And as we go through this particular lesson, it's going to make a little more sense to us as to why God would instruct such a thing. But let's go on. So he says, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45. So he says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. In other words, Jesus' argument here is this, that God does not only give sunlight to those who love him. He doesn't just give rain to people who love him and then say, forget everybody else. No, he gives love, he gives light, he gives rain even to his enemies. Now, I want you to really think about this. See, God loves without prejudice. God has zero prejudice when it comes to loving people. He loves everybody. In fact, Jesus did not lay down his life for a certain ethnic group. He laid down his life not for a political party. He laid down his life for all mankind. Why? Again, because God loves without prejudice. So what he is commissioning us to do is to love without prejudice. And in loving without prejudice, then that would also mean that I would pray without prejudice. In other words, I don't pray for you because you treat me good, because I pray for those who don't treat me good. I know this is tough sledding, But this is something that we're going to have to really grasp. But it's going to make more sense as to what God's plan is, what his strategy is in this as we go forth. So in verse 46, it says, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have you?" In other words, now that gives you a piece of what God is hinting at here. What reward do you think you should get if you just love people who love you? You haven't done anything different than anyone else. And so rewards are for people who do something different than the crowd. Why should you get a reward for being like everybody else? Where's your uniqueness? How are you different? And so that's part of what God is after with this, is that he's wanting us to love in a deeper way. And part of how we exemplify that love in a deeper way is by praying, even for people who do us wrong. Now, somebody might say, well, why would I want to pray for somebody who does me wrong? Is the reward all that great? Before we get into if that reward is all that great, here's what you have to look at. God wants you free. Now, you might say, well, what does freedom have to do with this? It has everything to do with it. Let me explain. If somebody can mistreat you and you hate them or you mistreat them back, then that means that the person who has mistreated you controls you, because you mistreated them because of what they did. So they are your master now. And so God's end game is delivering us from these earthly masters. There's another side to that coin too. But God is wanting to deliver us from being controlled by people. Because here's what you have to look at. If your behavior is going to be governed by what everybody else does, then all the enemy has to do is arouse somebody else's flesh to bother you just to get you off your game. And he can play that game with you for as long as he likes. Why? Because you're not controlling yourself. You're letting the behavior of other people control you. And so that's why Jesus is telling us to do something different. Don't be like everybody else. So look at this. So he says again in verse 46, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only," if you only say hello or greet the people who are your friends or your brothers, "what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now, let's go over to, I want to take a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to stop by and look at verse 29. Well, I'll go ahead and read verse 28 because that tends to be a favorite of ours. And there is some tie-in that we can use with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So we tend to be very familiar with verse 28 about knowing that all things, regardless of what is going on around us, that we know that all things work together for good. And what that simply means is that even the things that we may consider bad, the things that we may consider hurtful, that we maintain our love for God, then our love for God will be converted into something that will cause this a conversion to take place, where what hurt us now helps us, whereby what stained us now serves us. So again, in verse 29, he says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." So now this word conformed has to do with a change. It has to do with the fact that you're being fashioned. And so what we have to understand is that when we're reading the scriptures, what God is doing is he's fashioning us. And we are yielding to his hand. We are yielding to him fashioning us as we submit ourselves in obedience. So when God says, pray for those who have hurt you, as God says, pray for your enemies, what I'm doing when I do that is I'm allowing God to fashion me into the image of his son. See, what God has in mind for us is that we reflect Jesus, that we be that there's not a difference between how we handle a situation versus how Jesus would handle a situation. Remember, Jesus was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was praying for his enemies. So he was not simply giving us a decree that he himself would not follow. But instead, he was giving us an example. And because he gave us an example, we should follow in his steps. So what we have to understand is that when God is giving us an instruction that may seem a bit unorthodox, what he's after is fashioning us. What he's after is shaping me so that I represent or I represent Christ in the earth. So that when people see my behavior is a reflection of what Jesus would do, and that I would treat them no different than Jesus would. And see, it's important for us to understand that the goal, God's plan, is for us to be like Jesus. And that's why he would, because look at it like this. If it was okay for us to hate our enemies and curse them and all that, we would not end up being like Jesus. Why? Because he didn't do those things. And so again, God has called us to a higher way of living that involves praying for those who have hurt us. Now, there's another piece of this that I would like to bring in. Let's go to Jeremiah. We're going to look at something in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. That's where we're going to start, at least in verse 7. So it says, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. So let me just give a little bit of background here. The children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. And here is God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, giving them an unorthodox play. Oh, I'm so tempted to read above it, but I'm trying to be good. I'm going to stay right here. So God gives Jeremiah an unorthodox play to pass on to Israel. And so he says, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. Now, wait a minute, God. Shouldn't we want these people who have taken us captive to be destroyed? Shouldn't we want them annihilated? And here you're saying through your prophet, seek the peace. Now, I want them to reap what they sow. Now, he says, seek the peace of the city. Now, God, I want you to open up the earth and swallow them. He said, and seek the peace of the city. Now, God, I want you to kill them. Now, I'm the righteousness of God. They should be destroyed for what they did to me. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. But look at this. And he says, and pray unto the Lord for it. So he says, these people have taken you captive, and I want you to seek the peace of this area, these people who have taken you captive. He said, pray to the Lord for. In other words, you pray for their peace. You pray for their well-being. They've taken you captive. You pray for their well-being. Oh, I know that just messed with your flesh. But watch this. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. So watch this. What God is saying is this. I'm trying to get you peace. But the peace that you're going to get, you're going to receive through interceding for others. See, we want peace another way. And God is saying your peace is going to be found through your intercession. Why? Because what you have to understand, what I have to understand, what we have to understand, the reason that God tells us to pray for our enemies is because God loves them too. I know we don't want to believe that. We want to think God is just as angry and wants to just beat them up and mug them because they did something offensive to us. But what we have to really get a grip on, God loves atheists. God loves heroin addicts. God loves your mean boss. God loves the person who talks about you behind your back, who gossips about you. God loves the person who lies on you. Well, how can God do that? He shouldn't love them. Yes, he did. Let me explain why. God's love is not tied to our behavior. If God's love was tied to our behavior, then we would control God. Think about it. God could not be stable if his love was based on my behavior. That's why a lot of you are unstable, because your love is tied to people's behavior. And so one day you're up, the next minute you're down. Why? Because the enemy is using other people to control you like a puppet. Because your love is based on what people do. But the thing about it is this: when your love is separate from people's behavior, then you will find that your own mind will become more stable. It'll be an automatic response in your system to where your mind will become more focused. Why? Because you're not loving this one, hating this one, despising this one, loving this one. It's not having to shift around so much. And so it's part of your own peace, your own protection, your own well-being to love those, even those who don't like you, or even those who hate you or despise you or whatever, but that you stay in love. Why? Because as you're staying in love, then you also stay in mental stability and peace, because you refuse to hand over the control of your life to others. Meaning, what you do does not determine if I have peace. So I'm going to pray for your peace, but my peace would not be governed by what you do. Because in that situation, you will be my master, and I'm not letting you be my master. I have one master, and that's God, and he told me to pray for my enemies. So that's what I do. Why? That's my way of exemplifying that my goal is to be like Christ, not like you. I know it's tight, but it's right. So look at this. We're going to have to close it right here. We're going to pick back up on this. There are some additional things that we're going to have to bring out about this particular topic. And I just believe that the Spirit of God is going to continue to minister to us and cause us to see things in a much better, in a much brighter way. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we appreciate you for giving us the words to articulate your heart, your mind to your people. And we thank you so very much, sir, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again. We'll see you next time. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers 1-888-201-5313.